in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got a little change in my pocket, going jingle-lang-a-lang. Wants to call you on the telephone, baby. I give you a ring.
We were approached for sort of a pilot school. In some space we have within our school and education. Having conversations with our dean of the School of Education, our provost and others, we had conversations with those folks and reached an understanding of a shared use agreement for a private non-tuition school to start as a pilot on the campus. And originally they had a sense of urgency. They wanted to kind of come in January. And obviously that timing didn't work. But I think what we're looking at is possibly for the fall. Now, to be clear, that is not a charter school. That's a private, philanthropically funded, small school. You probably have space for about 40, 45 students that would be filled by the kids of our faculty, staff, and students. Because the demand is there.
That's Manny Diaz, now the president-elect at UWF. That's pending the Board of Governors' final approval, which will come in a couple of weeks. I would expect that to sail through no problem. But the one of the objections or stories or whatever you want to call it running around about him is this issue of the charter school and, you know, his connections to documents that make it look like he's somehow involved in profiting or whatever. Okay. And he says, yeah, people just don't understand the difference between a pilot school and a charter school. And, you know, charter school is not even, you know, it's early phases is what he said in December. It's also what he said yesterday. That's not even something that has been accomplished yet. A pilot school or a private school that would come and, you know, be on campus, you know, it might look sort of similar in some ways, but it is not the same thing at all.
You have to understand that you don't just pop in a building and 1,200 students arrive, right? You usually start these things K-3. They grow slowly. There's demand. There's growth in this area that they may not be able to service. There's faculty and staff that have kids that would rather have them here. It wouldn't take away our student teaching opportunities in the public schools. What it would do, the way I envision it, is to have students have that opportunity all the way through instead of just at the time when they're doing that semester of student teaching. So in other words, you can just walk right over and have those hands-on experience and dealing with teachers that are actually doing the work in the classroom and working with students, not waiting.
I love this idea, by the way. The idea of having a school, a K-3 maybe to begin with on campus that, you know, teachers and faculty or teachers and, you know, other people who work in the campus or students who have young children could take them to that school and have it be on campus, so that's, you know, easy access. And then that could also be a sort of teacher training environment, like, you know, you have dental training environments, you have hairstyling training environments, you have all kinds of trades and skills that do this kind of stuff all the time. Why not teaching? And it's, I guess, pretty rare. I'd never heard of it. He says there's a couple of other places that do it, and he says, why not do that here?
I don't necessarily particularly think that the semester, I'm not saying they wouldn't do one or two teachers, but that's not the main focus on it. The main focus is to say, if you come in as a freshman, right, and you're going to become a teacher, throughout the 4 years, you have the opportunity to do, and that would be something we would have to work on with the dean and School of Education and figure out what that's their decision, how that works and how much time they spend that or provide. But it provides a unique opportunity that we only see at places like A.D. Henderson, FAU, right? P.K. Young at University of Florida. It works there. And so there's no reason it wouldn't work here. It just provides more opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, why not? You do it for everything else, you know, whether it's, residency in medicine or going and working your shifts at a hospital if you're in nursing. In fact, just one small thought is, I always thought it was weird that people get an undergraduate degree in what's likely to be a teaching profession of some kind, like poli sci or philosophy or history, but we don't do anything to put them, especially if they're going to be, you know, if they're going to teach like K through 12, we do give them some experience. But if they're going to teach at the college level, they get barely any experience at all. We just throw them into the classroom and give them their own sections as TAs. And there's no kind of transitional space where they're really learning how to teach. In fact, usually when you're, even if you're a section off of a big lecture, you're just a, you know, that's still not really mentored teaching by somebody who has been a professional teacher for a long time. It's just there's very little professional development for university and college and even community college level teaching. And I think that's kind of a gap in the way we prepare people for the classroom experience.
Let's talk about truths, right? Let's not make things up. The facts are that this organization has both private, virtual, and brick and mortar schools that are both charter and private. And in this case, the what they approached us with is, we know we can't do a charter, but we have philanthropic funding that would be no tuition for your faculty, students, and staff's kids. And that's how it's been approached. And so I don't know why people are trying to make that into a negative. I see it as a huge positive for everybody on this campus.
Yeah, agreed. And by the way, he knows full well that politics is politics, and some people are definitely engaging in political action against him.
But at the end of the day, what I want to clear up here is, some people are trying to make this out as if the institution is granting something to somebody. It's the other way around. This is a benefit to the institution. We're not spending money. We're going to take in revenue and benefits for faculty, student, and staff, and I'm never going to apologize for that. I'm going to do the best I can to provide those opportunities. And so they want to make that out to be a negative. Look, they can do what they want. That doesn't really matter to me.
There you go. And they did, of course, vote him in with one dissent by Heather Riddell. She's the Senate faculty president, and basically her objection was against the process, which I completely agree with her about, not against Manny Diaz per se. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up in a moment, the Transgressive Memorial Service, where I play a woke pastor talking about the things we canceled this week, including phrases boomers use to Gen Z that they think are compliments but are actually insults. I'll tell you about that coming up next. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to about Interbay. We also have a hit-and-run crash with injuries East Olive Road at Sears Boulevard. Use caution through that area. Also, areas of patchy fog this morning. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for a theological seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. Brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, we have something special prepared for you, courtesy of the fine thought leaders at Veg Out Magazine, the premier advocacy platform for conscious living and the plant-based movement. According to Veg Out and their superior work in the Wokealytics of Offendedness, there are several expressions commonly used by baby boomers that trigger millennials and Gen Z unintentionally. And that is why it is so important to cancel them, because a healthy society is one in which no one is ever offended by anything. And the sillier the offendedness, the more important it is to cater to it. In these expressions, the tragic truth is that boomers think they are complimenting Zs, but of course, their compliments flow from outdated value systems and are therefore highly offensive to the young people of today. The service rendered by Veg Out in bringing attention to this vital issue instructs us to remember that even if you intend something as a compliment, that doesn't matter. What matters is whether the recipient of your comment feels praised or insulted. As Flibertnik's Fifth Theorem on Linguistic Morality reminds us, offendedness is in the ear of the listener. And of course, you all remember Smolbert's second corollary to the Flibertnik's Fifth Theorem. Offendedness is always defined by the most easily offended member of the target group. As we like to say, in every group there is an offense taker in chief. Well, obviously we don't say in chief, since that's cultural appropriation and marginalizing to indigenous peoples. We prefer to say most skilled offense taker, which also reminds us that being offended is a skill, a talent we must all practice and hone to razor-sharp perfection, so that we, too, will be keenly offended whenever possible and thus purify others of their unacceptable use of ordinary language. Anywho, here are seven forbidden compliments. First, you're so articulate for your age. Although the boomer thinks he is offering a compliment, affirming the linguistic skill of a youngin, this is actually a highly condescending bit of shade. What? You think anybody under 50 is special if they can utter a simple, grammatically correct sentence? The intended praise transforms into a keen insult, because the implication is we should expect nothing more from young adults than drooling gibberish, and that's why the old folks celebrate finding one who can correctly spell words longer than five letters without using a spell checker, especially when said to a young person of color or anyone from a marginalized group. This further reinforces the patriarchy and perpetuates white supremacist culture, in which whitey is smart because he makes rules that invalidate the natural language of outgroups. Just because young people hate talking on the phone, have trouble writing essays longer than 64 words without the use of ChatGPT, and prove how overwhelmed they are time-wise by shortening perfectly good words into time-hurried reductions such as totes, feels, perf, and jelly, and just because this is all true of them, you still should not assume they are unable to communicate without the use of emojis and memes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, you clean up nicely. Surely you're beginning to see a pattern. The stodgy old boomer looks around at a world full of casual attire and people living that soft life and suddenly thinks young people are all sloppy, slovenly, unkempt, and disheveled. Secretly judging all Zs as incapable of professional appearance, which, by the way, is a form of classism, since it marginalizes the poor who cannot afford nice clothes and non-whites for their alternative attire structures. This shady compliment implies the target is normally a hot mess, when in reality Gen Z has simply embraced a new set of standards for appearance that includes nose rings, colored hair, exposed midriffs, full sleeve tattoos, and let's just call them novel aromas. In addition, the insulting of the recipient's normal manner of appearance, the phrase, you clean up nicely, adds another layer of offensiveness by praising the youngling for conforming to colonizer couture and caving to the pressure to participate in the oppressor class. So, no, don't say it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
The third and fourth expressions are similar enough to be grouped together. You're not like other Gen Zers, and you're mature for your age are both attempts to praise young people for being something other than youthful, drooling, babbling, doom-scrolling skin sacks. But that's exactly why praising them for being age traitors is really just an insult to their tribe and a way of othering them simultaneously as members of the group boomers find inferior, and then saying they aren't even successful at being members of that unacceptable group. Imagine saying to a boomer, "You're not like other senior citizens. You're much less senile than I had expected based on your wrinkles and desiccated face. I bet you can even bathe yourself." So stop offending young people by praising them for just not being annoying, immature simps. Stop insulting their peers and stop insulting them by saying they're only valuable because they're unlike those peers you just insulted. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
A note at this point might be helpful. We realize the suffering caused by boomers with these phrases is probably unintentional, but remember, you are responsible for the effects of all your words. Even if they mean something completely different to other people than they do to you, that's your fault. If you or someone you know uses these phrases, someone else may be entitled to compensation. Continuing on, the fifth offensive compliment from boomers to Gen Zers is "good for you." Although boomers think this is a nice way of patting them verbally on the back, remember, you should never pat someone on the back without their consent. And complimenting is just touching people with your voice. The problem here is that older folks sound like they're gently praising a child for, you know, successfully tying their shoes or managing to get soup into their mouths without spilling, or even worse, patting a dog on the head for retrieving a ball or the morning newspaper, which, by the way, is a kind of small, flimsy book that only very old people read in print anymore. The young people don't want your approval, old man. They don't need your approval, old man. And they don't want your good for you either, old man. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Now, expression six is a bit tricky, but here goes. You're so tech savvy. Telling a young person this usually proceeds from the fact that old people can't do anything related to tech, an age-based disability that began with them not being able to set a clock on the VCR, which is what old people used to call Netflix. So to them, it's a genuine compliment, born of recognizing their own incompetence. Unfortunately for Gen Z, they are digital natives, and so you're usually just complimenting them on something that is completely standard for someone their age, therefore not at all special. Also, it's reductivist, because what it usually means is that a young person's value to the old person is not their advanced degrees or training or anything unique to them, but some basic geek squad function like understanding spreadsheets, editing photos, or not using password as your password. Just as you would think it insulting to be praised for knowing how to use a fork or print your name, telling a youngster you're so tech-savvy is almost always going to be an insult. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
So that is this week's list of canceled phrases, courtesy of Veg Out magazine. Also, a note that even though the title Veg Out is clever for a vegan magazine, you should never use the phrase "I'm going to veg out," because that's offensive to the mentally non-conforming, whom mean people used to refer to as vegetables. The slur is, of course, doubly insulting because it says cognitively non-standard persons are like plants, and also because it implies that those plants are somehow less precious than the humans, which is speciesist. So remember, be careful about your compliments because, as we always say, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can really hurt you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
By the way, for those who are wondering, there really is an article at Veg Out Vegetarian Magazine that explains the seven things old people should not say to young people anymore. All I had to do was embellish. I didn't even have to write anything original for that one. All right, John Pickens is out mourning the loss of his team Ole Miss last night. PJ is in for him this morning with the traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump says Venezuela is releasing large numbers of political prisoners after the recent U.S. military operation that removed President Nicolas Maduro from power. The president called it a smart gesture and said because of that cooperation, he's canceled a previously expected second wave of attacks. Authorities in Iran are cutting telephone lines and internet access as severe economic conditions have been fueling angry protests across the nation. Videos of those protests show demonstrators blocking roads and setting fires in Tehran, with some crowds calling for the removal of Iranian leader Ayatollah Khamenei.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Trump administration does with Iran, because we've seen protests in Iran before. And we've seen that they hoped America would be supportive, at least in something more than just words. And America has kind of let that not happen. So pay attention to this. The Iran story is a very interesting one.
It's really interesting after Venezuela, how it just seems like there's just kind of a wave hitting a lot of those nations. So Bruno Mars has released his first solo single now in nearly 10 years. I Just Might is the first single from his new album, apparently called The Romantic, which comes out on February 27th. So there you go, if you're a big Bruno Mars fan, Andrew.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, if you want to communicate with me in any way, agree, disagree, praise, unpraise, cancel, I don't know, whatever. All these things can happen. Feel free, 437-1620. If you need to get work done inside your home, plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, anything in that vicinity, you need a generator worked on or installed, you know, Peden, they are your place for it. Started in 1969 in Panama City. Robert Peden thought, I can make air conditioning. I can cool us down here on the Gulf Coast. He did. He did heating. He expanded the product line eventually to include plumbing, to include electrical, all of that stuff, which kind of all makes sense, all those kind of complicated systems inside your home. Also, geographically, expanded all the way east to Tallahassee into the eastern time zone and all the way west. I've been in Pensacola for a long time, but across the border into Alabama, into Baldwin County, into Mobile, not that long ago, within the last couple of years. 100% satisfaction guarantee on all the work, good products, good installers. And right now, you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. We'll talk about economic development, the big win for the county yesterday, coming up with Chris Plotay of Florida West.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi.
Refused to come out and then shot fireworks at officers. This neighbor talked with Channel 3.
I heard a loud banging, and I thought somebody was probably doing construction in the area or around the house. And I looked out the window, and that's whenever I saw what appeared to be a tall man just with a baseball bat in his hand, just swinging and hitting a stop sign. And I felt like the first thing in my mind was, okay, let me go ahead and at least call the police, make sure everything's okay, because you don't really ever see somebody with a baseball bat swinging in there, hitting a stop sign.
And SWAT assisted with that operation. Rosmondo is charged now with aggravated assault on an officer, criminal mischief, and property damage. He is being held in the Escambia jail. Family says he's on federal probation and has struggled with mental health issues. A British company coming to America. They'll be headquartered in Escambia County. The county commission yesterday agreeing to offer a 10-year tax exemption for an aerospace company called Field International Group. The company plans to invest about $8 million, and they say it'll add 50 jobs with an annual salary of around $80,000. 50-year-old Pensacola man crashed into a few trees while trying to pass another vehicle on East Quintet Road yesterday. That man was driving a pickup truck, ran off the roadway, hit a guardrail. He and a 51-year-old female passenger had to be extracted from the vehicle. Both were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The Florida Highway Patrol says they are investigating. A newly filed Florida Senate bill is targeting THC-infused beverages. Of course, those have been gaining popularity. Senate Bill 1368 creates a strict regulatory framework for the sale, distribution, and possession of those drinks. The legislation would ban consumption or possession of open containers by drivers or passengers in vehicles. Also would make it illegal for anybody under 21 to have those. Retail sales would be restricted to establishments that are already licensed to sell alcoholic beverages. Senate Bill 1368 will be considered during the upcoming legislative session, which begins Tuesday, January 13th. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at temperatures staying warm as you go through your day today. Touch of some fog this morning, high near 75 degrees this afternoon, 20% chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 75. Going into Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies, high near 57, and Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 36. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 67 degrees, foggy, and excuse me, 67 degrees and foggy right now. Let's check in with PJ, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. I-10 and 110 both looking good at this hour. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to about Sunset Avenue. There's also a brand new hit-and-run crash, Brent Lane at North Davis Highway. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. 6:35, your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors awaited a key jobs report, as well as a potential Supreme Court decision of the legality of tariffs. The 10-year Treasury yield was less than a basis point higher at 4.187%. The 2-year Treasury note was up one basis point as well to 3.505%. Oil prices are sharply higher as the market focuses on Venezuela, as well as supply worries in Russia, Iraq, and Iran. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $58.30 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $62.55 per barrel. Meta says it has secured agreements with energy companies Vistra, TerraPower, and Oklo, which are working on nuclear power technologies. They're planning to work together to eventually power Meta's Prometheus supercluster computing system that's being built at a data center in New Albany, Ohio. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 270, the NASDAQ down 104. That's your money now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have the version of that where Starship says we built this city on E-dates and other economic development incentives, but that's okay. That's okay. Joining us now, we have Chris Plotay. He is the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance. That is our local in Escambia County, the economic development arm. In Santa Rosa County, it's much simpler. It's just a part of the government. In Escambia County, we have this kind of long history with the chamber and the spinoff into Visit and into Florida West and so forth, and the relationship with Pensacola Economic Development Council, PEDC. Don't ask me to explain all of it. It's not that important to understand. Unless you're really a nerd. But that's okay. Chris Plotay has been in the job for about a year now. Chris, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News. I think for the first time. Is that right?
That's right. How are you?
I'm doing great. Although I think maybe Danny Zimmern had you on. So not the first time on the station, just maybe the first time you and I have talked. So great. By the way, congratulations on being in the job for about a year. I know you and I have talked kind of offline before, but things seem to be going well. I like some of the stuff that's happening. We had a big day yesterday. The Escambia County Commission voted, I believe, unanimously to approve Field International Group, which is the actual people behind the project. Was it Britain? Was that the name of the code?
Yeah, not that original, but yeah, Project Britain. And
so for people who don't know, what are they? Where do they come from? What do they do? What does it mean to us?
Yeah, so they do basically equipment for companies like ST to continue to do MRO work. They do MRO themselves, which is the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of aerospace companies or, you know, equipment, you know, the actual planes or the, you know, engines, whatever.
Okay.
So
I saw Channel 3 was running some B-roll for them, and, it, you know, largely what it featured was engines in various states of construction. Is they build the engine, they build the tools to work on the engine, they build the parts that go into the engine, or something else entirely?
Yeah, they're a little bit of everything.
Okay.
You know, actually, like within the Boeing manual, it references some of the equipment that they build. So they do, you know, land equipment to help, like, remove the engine, all kinds of things, if you can imagine. It's just sort of this Sears catalog of aerospace maintenance and, you know, assistance.
Okay. So how will this interact with... They're going to be where? Midtown Commerce Park, the old Superfund site on 29? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. The initial building, they found a facility on Pasco Street, and so they're going to go there and, you know, start up the facility and then grow and build their own permanent headquarters.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first thing on the Superfund site, right? That's the first actual building out there. Is that right?
This would not be this is taking an existing building, but it's the first project in gosh knows how long.
Yeah.
That landed out there.
And I know y'all had, I know the county commission had the cow yesterday for talking about that specifically, and we'll get to that in a minute because I have not watched it yet, but that's as much news as the fact that they're coming here. It's going to be what, 50 jobs on the first phase? Is that right?
Yeah. The $8 million of machinery and equipment that they're bringing and putting in the building with 50 jobs paying an average of $80,000.
Are these, and I know always the question people have about economic development is, are these jobs that will be exclusively for local residents, largely for local residents, you know, or are they going to bring the jobs from elsewhere? Do we have the training pipeline that's going to be able to produce the technical skills that they need for their employees yet, or does that need to be developed?
So it'll be largely from here. I would never say exclusive.
Okay.
For a company. But, yeah, I mean, largely. And if you look at the way they've described their other facilities throughout the world, is they hire and focus on local.
Okay.
So it's basically everything with the company is very family focused and family oriented. So that's how they even, you know, sort of manage the workforce. And so they want those people to be local, be a part of the community. It's, you know, we're very lucky in the Escambia that we can be picky, you know, in Pensacola and the community has just been so desirable. So we can be a little bit more choosy on those companies that come in and the way they treat their employees, from what we've seen, is going to be exactly what we want here.
And apparently what they love about here is the us. You know, they love the community, they love the location, they love the people. All the things that we heard the other day from the American Magic folks, too, is the welcoming of those folks, right?
That's exactly right. It was so you know, interesting to hear at the American Magic event, you know, that same story.
Yeah.
You know, it's this community, and to be new, you know, I'm from the Carolinas, I found it to be the same way. So when we
same.
Talk to our
yeah,
clients,
me too.
It's not a, yeah, it's exactly, I think I heard you talk about that yesterday. It's not a sales pitch. You know, you're honestly talking about how this community is so welcoming, what your experience has been, and it is true every time, so.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a small contingent of, you know, kind of anti-carpetbagger, anti-other sort of sentiment, but it's really rare. I mean, I was amazed coming here, you know, 12 years ago, how open, welcoming, and eager people were to, you know, help me and talk to me and explain things to me. And that's what I hear from everybody. And it's just true. We are that kind of people, which is quite a selling point. You know, you can come and show people the facility, you can come and show people the beach, and then just take them out to lunch a few times, and they'll get sold. You know, they'll see right away that's kind of how we are. Hey, Chris, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Chris Plate of Florida West. Hang on for just a second. I got traffic on the fives with PJ.
The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to about Sunset Avenue. There's also a brand new hit-run crash, Brent Lane at North Avis Highway. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So, Chris, back to Chris Plate of Florida West, talking about Project Britain, which it turns out to be Field International Group, a kind of a parts and equipment supplier for the maintenance, repair, and overhaul like ST Engineering and Aerospace is doing. Help me just get a real good picture of what exactly their role is. It sounds like they're a little bit like how Blue Wind makes the nacelles that then GE Vernova uses to put the machine heads into and assembles. Is it like that, that they are really a supplier for things that ST is going to use and that's going to be their role here? Or is it something, am I not thinking about this the right way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a smaller piece of it, but okay. It's a definite piece. But you know, it's not because of ST. They went throughout the U.S. kind of looking for a location from everywhere from Chicago, Ohio, you know, down to the Gulf. And so they supply across the globe. To basically every OEM, so Airbus, to you know, Boeing, to whoever. So they help supply them. They also help supply that maintenance supply chain.
Okay.
So like ST Aerospace, King Aero, you know, people that we have here. So
okay, so it's definitely not like Blue Wind, and I mean, it's not as a like this is not a key location for them because they're that operation. They just wanted a place in the U.S. and they picked us out of all the places they were looking at that could have been anywhere.
Right. And okay. So again, moving their headquarters here eventually from the UK. So this is not only a great location because of things like ST and having Mobile across, you know, in the, having Airbus over in Mobile.
Yeah.
It's the, it's a competitive location globally for them. So
when you were talking with them, that 29 location, that Midtown Commerce Park, the old Superfund site, I mean, it's really languished, right? All these years, we've never really managed to put anything in there. There's been a lot of talk about it. Obviously, the committee of the whole meeting yesterday, you guys talked a lot about this. What was the key thing that got them interested in that site as opposed to, let's say, being in Santa Rosa County, which obviously they've been, you know, doing very well, or being up in the county, unincorporated elsewhere, or being, I mean, even at the tech park, I suppose you could imagine that, or at OLF8, which is, I mean, not quite ready yet. But from your point of view, what sold them on that location particularly?
Yeah, I think it was literally the available building. We had a handful of buildings that would work for them.
Okay.
And then the building that they chose was just, it fit for this first phase. And it allows them, they'll be there about 3 years. In about a year and a half, they'll start to build a 100,000 square foot facility dedicated for them.
Okay.
And so that'll be just a little bit further north, closer to I-10.
And that'll be also on 29, or do you know yet where that location is?
They have a couple sites, and so they narrowed it down to one, but just to let them continue to negotiate, we'll keep that open. But,
gotcha.
But it'll be an open greenfield project, so they have that site, and it's because of the access to I-10. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so that's going to be another manufacturing site and their headquarters, or is the head, or am I putting too many things together?
You know, they'll eventually take what they're putting in place now as they get started and relocate that into the permanent facility.
Oh, okay. And so this is temporary.
Manufacturing and headquarters and everything.
Okay, yeah. So this is let's get going now at the facility at the Midtown Commerce Park. Eventually we're going to build a building, move this into that, and also add our headquarters. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's correct. All right, great. So let's talk about, I mean, again, this is, you know, fantastic news. I love new jobs. I love investment, and especially if you've got an international company coming here as opposed to anywhere else in the United States. That's pretty nice feather in the cap to be able to say, hey, this is the place. Talk about the Midtown Commerce Park and the plan, the committee of the whole that you guys had yesterday. I feel like I mean, the whole time I've lived here, it's just been, you know, fenced and overgrown, right? Okay, so where are we at on that, and what did the commissioners decide yesterday with regards to developing that site?
Yeah, they were basically looking at the whole area, even across Palo Fox on the west side, the available properties that they received from EPA and how to best utilize those. And so, you know, there's some projects in the southern end that may incorporate an animal shelter and some other things that the county needs, fire training. But it's to the north is what Florida West and the county will work together on. to master plan so we can, you know, utilize all the property there. And then try to attach that to some private owned property as well to kind of link it back up. And there's about a little over 100 acres when you combine all that that we can target and push for companies that would be a good fit for Midtown.
Okay. And I know, you know, people who might not be like see it all the time or drive through the area, but you know, for years and years, the old soccer complex at W Street just sat there vacant. In fact, I remember, you know, we used to go over there and shoot off model rockets, and you know, I taught my kids how to start driving back on there when those roads were all open. And at least I think that's right. Anyway, I know we used to go back there for stuff, and you know, also there was vagrancy and some crime and all that kind of stuff. But then it got closed off, and now it's just this giant regional trucking facility. There's going to be a Wawa on W29 at W. You know, that's been renovated and it's completely different. And that's the funny thing about economic development is you're so used to it being one way for a long time, and then it can seem like suddenly within the space of a year or two, the whole nature of a location can change, right?
That's right. And funny you said that. That's generally the area that they're looking at for the finished headquarters.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, you know, there's a lot of sites in that vicinity, and you know, you get used to 29 being one thing or any street being one thing, and then it can be something else. I did want to ask you just, I remember I think it was the previous committee of the whole that you presented about the tech park. And for people who might not have heard that conversation, and I know I talked about it, but I don't think we did a lot with it. There's been, you know, that is another site that it's kind of the target of ridicule a lot for people who say economic development doesn't work, and they'll say, well, look at the tech park, or look at OLF 8, or right. You know, look at the community maritime park and see what doesn't happen. And it's this kind of ongoing black eye for economic development in Escambia County. But you have stepped in and begun some things happening there that are pretty significant for developing that parcel, making it usable. Can you just maybe spend a minute or two and tell people what's going on at the tech park? That's, for people who don't know, that's right across from the Bay Center when you come down off 110 to the right there by the cemetery. That's that parcel we're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people know it because they park there and have lunch. So it's kind of an underutilized piece for sure.
Right.
So we have come in there and basically, you know, some of the basic blocking and tackling wasn't done. So we needed to do some geotech at the appraisals, start to look at it, and so we have all that ready to go now. There were some limitations that were put on the property. Those restrictions are gone, so it kind of opens us up to really work with it. We have a couple projects that are looking pretty heavily at it. Actually, we're meeting next week with one of those to get that a little bit further down the line. But it's also trying to look at Tech Park as not just this isolated entity, but how does it work in the ecosystem there?
Sure.
And so if you look at from IHMC to the Florida Power Building, which we'll find out where that goes, but that sort of crescent right there is a wonderful place to kind of develop a defense and AI cluster. And so that's what we're trying to market that as. And then also to be an asset, not only, you know, we need like a parking deck because it's only a 9-acre site. So you've got to put the employees somewhere. And so we'll hopefully have a parking deck there. That parking deck off hours from, you know, 8 to 5 would be for the tech park, from 5 to whatever would be available for like whatever's going to develop at the Bay Center.
Okay, so it would function a lot the way the parking lot at Community Maritime Park works, which is during business hours it's reserved for the Studer building, during off hours it's used for the Wahoos games.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And it makes sense to get, again, full utilization of that as we look to, you know, get a developer hopefully to build that parking deck so that it makes business sense for them.
When do we expect the company to move in, Field? When are they going to come?
Oh, so Field, I think they are, because we were waiting on last night, they are have some staff here already in the building sort of mapping out things, so the equipment should be coming soon. Now they've green-lighted everybody to start bringing stuff, and so they'll be operational within months.
Oh, okay. And then last thing, somebody texted me in and says, so it's a 10-year E-date, so they're not going to pay taxes on the development, but they're not. It doesn't sound like they're doing a lot of development. They're just repurposing. You correct me if I'm wrong. Are they paying us for the building? Are they renting the building? Is this, we're just using that as a sweetener to get them to come here long-term with their full facility? What's the money look like?
Yeah, so it's a private function, you know, not a government function of that building. So it's have a private lease with that group. We are assisting to kind of sort of take the edge off on the equipment
the property tax that we on the equipment in phase one.
So the $8 million
is solely machinery and equipment.
Okay.
And again, the E-Date program, I know a lot of people, there's some nuance to this, and we're going to go to the county commissioners and talk more about it, but we're going to modify the E-Date a little bit, for just modernize it. And, you know, this is new money. This is not, the county's not giving up its existing funds. This is funds that you would be new to you. So in the initial 5 up to 10 years for certain projects, you'll abate a certain portion.
Right.
And then they take the full, then they'll pay the full rate after that period. So,
and that's, you're exactly right. This is something people sometimes misunderstand. It's not that the county is spending money. They're foregoing what they could have otherwise collected on the economic development ad valorem tax exemption. So, or the exemption that they're granting the E-Debt. All right. Very good. Chris Platte.
So a lot of people.
Go ahead. We're just totally out of time, but go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to say, you know, 100% of nothing is zero.
So, right.
You know, in many cases. So, yeah, this is, again, new money that allows us to do new things and keep the taxes low.
Well, I know we've had a lot of maybe it will, could be happening, names of projects that don't pan out. So it's great to hear one that is going to actually happen, especially in your first year of being in the job as Florida West CEO. Chris Platte, he's the CEO of Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Thanks for the time. Congratulations on the big win. And I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's see. PJ is in for John Pickens this morning, who is grieving the Ole Miss loss last night, which is understandable. I mean, he went to the Mississippi to go watch the game at a local place anyway. So PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that hit and run crash. Brent Lane at North Davis Highway. Use caution through that area. Also, a brand new vehicle crash at North Pace Boulevard at West Herman Avenue. Use caution through that area. There's also areas of patchy fog this morning. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a 2-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Tut tut, it looks like rain. Tut tut, it looks like rain.
I would say right now it looks like fog, but it will be probably rain later. So yeah, no, it's a... Man, this week has been super ground cloudy. It's been kind of weird. Today is actually where I drove into work. It was actually the worst that it's been all week. So do be careful. Headlights on, high beams off. It is okay to drive with your flashers on or your hazard lights, as some people call them. You know, flashers might have a different connotation on Bourbon Street. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the House has passed legislation to extend expired Obamacare tax credits. The vote Thursday was 230 to 196, with 17 Republicans crossing the aisle to join Democrats voting in support. The move would extend COVID-enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies, and now it heads to the Senate. There's new study out, Andrew, about people who stop taking weight loss injections. And it says that the people who stop taking those are likely to regain all of the weight they lose within 2 years. This research looked at medications like Ozempic and found that people who take the drugs and then stop taking the drugs often start regaining that weight within a month after stopping the shots.
I think we would have to describe this as the 100% least surprising finding in the history of human medicine, that if you take a drug that miraculously drops 10, 20, 30% of your body weight, and then you stop taking it, that had, since you did not change lifestyle or exercise or consumption habits, guess what you get? Same result you got before. Brilliant.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton.